Have you heard the song, "I Only Have Eyes for You"? Probably. "I Only Have Eyes for You." Yeah, it was composed in 1934 and has been recorded by many people. One recording by the Flamingos is on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest songs. It's number 157. "I Only Have Eyes for You." In our text from Isaiah, God has his own version of this song for us. And that is, "You are precious in my eyes." You noticed how many bold print yous there are in our text from Isaiah. There's a lot of them there. And that "you" each time is singular. It's not plural. It's "you," not "y'all." It's not a southern gospel this time. It's northern gospel. It's "you." And that "you," when it's singular like that, it denotes focus. It's an intimate use of the word. It is talking about you, you, you. It is individual. It's particular. It's personal. God says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." God has all sorts of cosmic things that he has to worry about, doesn't he? Universes, galaxies, things that God has created. But here we hear God emphasizing his value, that you are precious to God. Of all the things in the world, you are precious. I think there's 21, 22 yous in that passage there, just those seven verses. Again, over and over again, it's you, 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 you. You are precious in my eyes. As I said earlier, those words were first given to people who were far from home. The Judean exiles were taken out of their home by the people of Babylon. And the Babylonians didn't view them with a lot of worth. To the Babylonians, these were slaves. These were state-run prisoners, workers, cogs in the machine, the political machine that was Babylon. The Judean exiles, the Israelites, didn't have any value to them other than they were workers. That's what they were, slaves and prisoners. And I'm sure it made the Israelites question their own value, just who they are. You know, we've all had jobs that are pretty thankless at times, where you're doing something really just menial and you kind of can make you question your worth. But where do we find our value? That's the question for tonight. Where do you find your value? Who here has ever gone to a like carnival funhouse and stood in front of those crazy mirrors that they have? You know, mirrors that can make you look unnaturally tall and skinny, maybe short and fat, or maybe just plain creepy and a little bit ugly. You've stood in front of those mirrors before. Yeah, they don't really tell us who we are, though, do they? They give us a false picture of who we are. Throughout our lives, we see things that are kind of like those mirrors. We see things in print media, on the internet, on TV, magazines, all these things that show us what perfection is supposed to look like, right? Like the perfect job is supposed to be like this. The perfect marriage is supposed to be like this. The perfect figure is supposed to be like this. And over again, we see that we just don't measure up. We see what perfection looks like, and what it shows us is what the funhouse mirror shows us. That we're maybe unnaturally tall and skinny, short and fat, or creepy and ugly. It tells us what it wants to tell us. It tells us, this is what the world tells us. And in that, we languish. We lose heart. We feel worthless. And have you noticed that when you have feelings like that, feeling of being worthless, that you kind of view other people in that same way? We discount ourselves, so we discount other people, spouse, child, coworker, parent, boss. When we feel like nothing, we treat other people like nothing. Value is a big thing. How do you stack up in the eyes of others? But that doesn't really reflect our true value, does it? Your value comes from the Lord, and He says, "You are precious in my eyes." You, singular, not plural. It's directed specifically to you. Reserved, it's exact, it is you. You are incredibly valuable, precious. That Hebrew word in Isaiah that's translated precious has this connotation of significance, stature, substance. It's something you'd use to describe a jewel, a diamond. It's prized, priceless, preferred, valuable. And value in this case is based entirely on ownership. You are precious in my eyes, says the Lord. And it is value on ownership. Now, if I had a piece of half-eaten French toast, and I said, "This French toast is for sale. Who would like to buy this?" Would you buy money? Buy it? Sydney, would you buy that French toast? Half-eaten French toast? You would buy it. Why would you buy it? You're ruining my sermon. You're supposed to say no. If I lost a tooth right now, Sydney, and I said, "Would you buy this tooth? Would you buy it?" No, you wouldn't buy it. Because it's a worthless tooth, right? It has no value. Unless you give it value. John Lennon's tooth, John Lennon, the Beatle, had a tooth that was bought by a Canadian dentist for $30,000. The tooth has value because the person wanted to give it value. Justin Timberlake sold his half piece of French toast for $3,000. Justin Timberlake, by the way, for us older people, is a pop culture icon, part of the great group NSYNC, or not so great group, however you view that. Value is based on ownership, and it's based on what a person wants to give it. God says of you, "Bring my sons from afar. Bring my daughters from the end of the earth, upon whom all my name is called, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed, whom I made." God has created, claimed, fashioned, and formed you. You are His sons and daughters. God gives you value. And God is willing to pay a lot for you. In Isaiah of the exiles, God says, "I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your wife." This can be kind of a hard concept to think about, but when Israel passed through the Red Sea and got their freedom, it was at the cost of the entire Egyptian army. Here Israel is in captivity to the Babylonian Empire, and the way that they will receive freedom is through the Persian king Cyrus, and God will pay for that freedom with the lives of the Babylonians. God will pay a lot for those He values, and He values you. Does anybody know how big across the Milky Way galaxy is? It's 104,000 light years across. Contains over 100 billion stars. To count them one by one would take a person over 3,000 years to count all those stars. And that's assuming we know that there's that many alone. The Hubble Space Telescope tells us that there are hundreds of billions more galaxies in this universe. There isn't, you can't count how many stars are out there. Earlier in Isaiah, we hear that God calls each and every star by name. He has placed them there, and He has a name for them. And it is this same God who says in our passage today, I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. You are precious in my eyes. God gives us great value. You are valued, you are cherished. To God, you are of infinite worth. Martin Luther preached on this passage from Isaiah, and in it he has this to say. Although in supreme trials you seem nothing in your own eyes and are condemned as one cast off by the world, in my eyes you are glorious. Therefore you may be vile in your own eyes, in the eyes of the world, and even in those of your brother, but fear not. In my eyes, I regard you as a precious jewel. In the waters of baptism, God claimed you as His own. On the hill of Calvary, He paid for you with His Son. And that means that God has more than just eyes for you. He has hands and feet that were nailed to the cross for you. He has a head that was crowned with thorns for you. He has a side that was pierced with a spear for you. And there's more. God has a heart for you. John 15 tells us, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And God has ears for you. Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And God has body and blood for you. Mark 14, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Isaiah testifies to this one thing. And if you want to sing these words, you can. I'm not going to sing them for you. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, it is good to hear these words from you, that you value us immensely, that the one who has named and placed each star in the heavens calls us also by name. Lord, in our times where we are down, when we are hit by the world and told that we are worthless, remind us of what you have done for us, that you have redeemed us and you call us precious. We pray this in your name. Amen.